Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to KRBL Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jain, Chief Financial Officer of KRBL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to KRBL Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call for analysts and investors. Along with me on this call today, we have Mr. Anil Kumar Mittal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta, Joint Managing Director, and Aayush Gupta, Head of the Domestic Business. We will begin with updates from Mr. Mittal with his views on the industry, the business, and broad strategy. We shall then have Aayush taking us through his perspectives on the domestic business. Thereafter, I will present the financial overview of the company for the quarter and nine months ended December 31, 2022. After the opening remarks from the management, the forum would be open for Q&A. A cautionary note that some of the statements made on the call today could be forward-looking in nature, and actual results could vary from these statements. A detailed intimation in this regard is available in KRBL's investor presentation, which is available on the stock exchange website and also on the company's website. I would now like to invite Anil to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ashish. Dear investors, good afternoon. I will start with a brief on the overall current scenario for rice industry. The rice industry in India has been very bright in both basmati and non-basmati segments. During the period April to November 2022, we have seen a total basmati exports of 2.73 million metric tons, valued at $2.87, as compared to 2.39 million metric tons, valued at $2.06 billion during the same period last year, thereby witnessing a growth of 14% in volume terms and 49% in value terms. As far as non-basmati exports are concerned, a total quantity of 11.57 million metric tons were exported during the same period at a value of $4.11 billion, as compared to 10.95 million metric tons valued at $3.93 billion during last year, witnessing a 6% growth in volume terms and 12% growth in value terms. As regards non-basmati, the ban on export of broken continued, and there is a 20% duty on export of white rice. Even then, we have seen a remarkable growth in exports, both in value as well as in volume terms. After imposition of a 20% duty, Indian rice prices continue to remain most competitive as compared to global prices. At present, FCI has a stock of 15.4 million metric ton of rice, and another about 31.5 million metric ton are to be received from the millers out of the new crop. The quantity will be far more than the annual buffer requirement of 13.8 million metric tons that FCI is required to maintain. In the meanwhile, since the commencement of paddy procurement by FCI, the state agencies for the current kharif season, 2022-2023, the total purchase till now has been up by 2% on a year-over-year basis at 64 million metric tons. Higher grain procurement is expected to boost rice stocks held by FCI, which has been depleted by implementation of a free ration scheme that was implemented during April 2020 to December 2022. FCI distributes around 40 million metric ton of rice and 18 million metric tons of wheat annually under the National Food Security Act, where 5 kg of grain per head is distributed free of cost to 800 million beneficiaries. This scheme has further been extended up to the year 2024. Excuse me, please. Current scenario on basmati crop. We have never witnessed a year like this in our 50 years of experience in the basmati trade. We have witnessed such an unprecedented rise in the basmati prices, both paddy as well as rice. The prices were spiraling up and up continuously because of the damage of the crop in terms of yield per acre as well as quantity due to the unexpected rains during September-October when the crops were just ready to be harvested. Nobody was able to gauge the exact quantum of damage, but the prices went higher by about 40% as compared to last year from the beginning of the season. For example, 1121 paddy, which started at a price of 37-38 rupees per kg, went up to 51-52 rupees per kg. Similarly, 1718, which was started arriving at rupees 34 per kg, went up to rupees 48 per kg. Likewise, 1509 went up to 31-32 to 42-43. And 1401 started at rupees 36, went up to 54. This got reflected in the rice prices as well. For example, 1121 parboiled basmati rice started with a price of rupees 75 per kg and jumped up to rupees 92 per kg. Similarly, 1718 started at rupees 65 per kg and went up to 82 rupees. Besides, 1509 started from rupees 62 and went up to 82 per kg and so on. I would like to add here that as per the original survey of all the seven states, including MP and Rajasthan, it was assessed that the total paddy output would be 12.54 million metric tons, equivalent to about 8.15 million metric tons of rice. Therefore, as per the original assessment, the production should have been sufficient to meet the demand, and there was no reason for such a hike in the prices. However, the rice prices in the domestic market increased by around US$300 per metric ton as mentioned above, which was expected by the importers worldwide. A number of factors that have contributed to such a sharp rise in prices are the expectation of a lower crop size on account of unseasonal rain. It is believed that the yield per acre in certain areas got reduced by 10 to 15%. Limited carryover stock, which got depleted before the commencement of the new crop. Historical high basmati prices in Pakistan due to floods in the Sindh region. For the first time in the history, Pakistan basmati US$100 higher over the Indian basmati despite the fact that their rupee was devalued against dollar by about 65%. Huge reduction in container freights over the last year. For example, container freights for Saudi have come down from $2,200 during February-March to $400. For Europe, the rates have come down from US$8,000-$9,000 to just $1,150. For USA, the rates have come down from $11,000 to $2,000. And Australia has come down from $5,500 to $1,000. The container's availability has eased out and freight rates have become very attractive and equivalent to pre-pandemic levels. Indian rupee has also depreciated by around 9%. Last year, the exchange rate for the rupee was 75.60 in the month of October-November, which now stands at 82.50. High wheat prices in the international markets, though wheat price in India are in the range of rupees 25 to 28 per kilo, the wheat prices in USA and other global markets are just double, at around 56-57 per kg. Wheat being a prime cereal commodity across the world has a psychological impact on rice prices and other cereals as well. All the above factors have resulted in sharp increase in basmati export prices, and hence this level will also be sustainable in the long run as well. We would like to reiterate that there has been a complete turnaround in the logistics and transportation sector in terms of freight rates and availability of equipment. The availability of rail rates for movement of cargo to ports are now surplus. Same is the situation in warehouse space at the ports. More importantly, the turnaround time at the port have become very fast because of availability of labor, both in the upcountry as well as at the ports. Just 8 months back, the load rate was just around 1,500 metric ton per day in break bulk vessel, which is now around 5 to 6,000 metric ton per day. KRPL went ahead with its paddy procurement for the current season at a remarkable pace, and the procurement was completed in a record period. This was mainly because basmati paddy arrivals in the market were at historically faster rates this year and got completed by mid of December itself, which normally goes up to middle of February. We procured 47% higher quantities because we had good orders in hand, both for domestic and exports. Besides, there is an aging requirement, and hence our procurement this year has been so robust. On export front, our numbers on a quarter-over-quarter basis are more or less the same for basmati rice, though there is a growth of 55% in value terms on a year-over-year basis. However, there is a reduction in export revenue in the current quarter due to ban on 100% broken non-basmati rice. Previous two quarters, we had exported good quantities of 100% broken to China. Our Saudi business is going as per expectation, and our new distributor is performing well. But we are still unable to finalize a new distributor for the HoReCa segment, the effort for which are going on. Regarding Iran, the payment mechanism is a big question mark, and still the shipments and payments are routed through Dubai. We feel that after Ramadan is over, the stocks lying at the ports are depleted, there would be a solution for the payment mechanism. Rest our export to all other regions and destinations throughout the world are performing as usual. I have tried to portray a complete scenario on the production and export of basmati rice and would be happy to answer any question in the following session. Thank you. I will now pass it to Ayush for the domestic market update.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon. I will now share an update on the performance of the India business. India business recorded the highest ever quarterly revenue of rupees 998 crores during the quarter. This marked the growth of 32% year over year. Growth in the quarter came on the back of both retail as well as HoReCa segments. The consumer pack segment grew by roughly 9% in volume terms year over year, with both the traditional trade and modern trade channels growing well. In traditional trade, KRBL clocked volume market share of 32.4% with a gain of 17 basis points year over year. In modern trade, we clocked volume market share of 39.8% with a gain of 360 basis points year over year. Besides the strong demand, the growth in retail segment is an outcome of the input measures that we are driving with rigor month over month. One of the strategic pillars of the India business is to drive distribution. Here, during the quarter, KRBL has expanded its outlet penetration by 15% year over year to reach a numeric distribution of 39.2%. In the current financial year, we have expanded our distributor count by 40% to take the number to upwards of 700 plus dealers and distributors. Annual household penetration of India Gate brand as of September 22 stood at around 10 million households, including 1.4 million new households in this past year. As you would be aware, loose basmati currently contributes close to 65% of the total in-house consumption of basmati rice in India. This forms the foundation of a second strategic pillar, that of increasing branded basmati rice penetration. We have been driving this agenda with our Unity brand as a budget-friendly offering. Unity today stands as a rupees 600 crore plus brand in the KRBL portfolio, and we have been able to make good inroads in particular geographies from a brand penetration point of view. Starting quarter three, we have added to this drive and are now also driving branded Basmati penetration through India Gate brand. Our new advertising campaign featuring the popular Bollywood actor Pankaj Tripathi is one of the main initiatives in this direction. Moving on to HoReCa segment of the business. This segment has grown by 20% year over year and 88% sequentially in volume terms. It contributes roughly 40% of the domestic business revenue. KRBL plays very strategically in this segment, focusing only on top of the pyramid, which means customers who value quality and are willing to pay the price for it. With the revision in GST norms, which puts all sellers on a level playing field, the opportunity size for KRBL has significantly expanded. We are now targeting 20 to 25% of this segment as against around 10% earlier, and are looking at doubling our revenues in this segment in the next 2 years. Coming now to the third pillar, that of augmenting portfolio across segments. Here, all three regional rice variants of focus, Sona Masuri, Govind Bhog and Kolam rice, are now launched in the market. We have received positive feedback from our customers and we are looking forward to this very exciting growth journey. Regional rice is deep-rooted in culture and traditions, and consumers have very high emotional values attached to it. India Gate, being a brand which connects with consumers at an emotional level, is extremely well-positioned to take on this journey. With that, I come to the end of my remarks, and I will now hand it over to Ashish, who will take us through the financial performance.
Thanks, Ayush. I will now take you through the performance for the quarter ended December 31st, 22. All figures mentioned by me would refer to the consolidated financials of KRBL. Total income for the quarter was at 1,554 crores, a growth of 33% over the corresponding quarter last year. Gross profit of the company increased by 82% and EBITDA and profit after tax by 141% and 180% respectively. The company recorded highest ever domestic revenue and total revenue during the quarter. Revenue from operations grew by 33%, led by both domestic and export sales, which grew by 32% and 38% against Q3 FY22. Domestic sales, excluding power, clocked 998 crores on account of higher retail volume, higher HoReCa volume post-GST rationalization on bulk packs, and higher realization, as Ayush just explained. Basmati rice realization increased by 31% over Q3 FY22. Higher realization was recorded across both domestic and export segments. Gross margin improved to 29.3%, an improvement of 800 basis points over corresponding quarter last year, led by improvement in realization, which was slightly offset by increase in input costs. Gross margin, however, fell by 535 basis points from 34.6% in Q2 FY23. on account of change in product sales mix and higher input costs. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at 19% as against almost 11% on account of better gross margin, partially offset again by increase in other costs. KRBL finance costs continued to decline. They were at 3.5 crores as against 4.2 crores in the corresponding quarter, as our reliance on borrowings continues to reduce year on year. The company's PBT margin also improved to 17.7% as against 8.6%, while PAT margin was at 13.2% as against 6.3%. Now I will discuss 9-month performance. Total income for the period stood at 4,083 crores, marking a growth of 27% against the same period last year. Gross profit of the company increased by almost 50% and EBITDA and PAT by 58% and 66% respectively. Revenue from operations grew by 27%, led by both export and domestic sales, which grew on a year-on-year basis by 37% and 22% respectively. I will now share some inventory highlights. Total inventory of the company as of December 31st, 22 was at 4,435 crores, comprising 2,252 crores of paddy and 2,018 crores of rice. These two numbers were at 1,359 crores and 1,660 crores respectively as of December 21. In volume terms, paddy stocks were at approximately 577,000 tons and rice at approximately 363,000 tons. These numbers were 398,000 tons and 340,000 tons respectively as of December 21. Inventory, as Anilji explained, is higher primarily on account of our expectation of higher demand and because of aging requirements. That brings me to an end of my prepared remarks. I will now like to hand over to the moderator for opening the Q&A session. I will just like to mention that as the ED matter is sub judice, we will not be in a position to respond to queries on this matter. So over to the moderator now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So what I wanted to know is how much percentage of the global rice production does Pakistan make up? And with the economic issues going on in Pakistan, have we seen any supply disruptions occurring? If so, what will be the price impact on basmati rice be as such?
Share of Pakistan in the overall?
The share of Pakistan in the global trade is just 600,000 tons, whereas their total crop size is just 850,000 tons. 350 is consumed domestically and 250 and 500 to 550 is the export demand. As far as these quantities are concerned, they got affected this year due to floods in Sindh area. Sindh area, they grow a particular variety like ED6 and a part of Super, which is used for mixing along with the basmati rice produced in Punjab area. So that also is produced to the tune of about 300,000 ton, 250 to 300,000 ton, which got totally 100% got damaged due to floods in Sindh area. As I told you in my remarks, that this was the first year in the history of 40-50 years our competition with Pakistan that their prices were $100 higher over the Indian prices. And that was one of the reasons that the Indian prices also got quite high and the acceptability of the Indian rice was higher by $200, $300 in certain markets due to Pakistan offering at much higher prices.
Okay, got it. All good. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. And congrats on good set of numbers. I have two questions. On the one is on the exports of to Saudi, okay? This issue with the distribution, and we have been trying to search for this Horeca distributor for quite some time, okay? Why is it taking so much time? Because we already have a retail distributor. Cannot he be the same for Horeca also, or what are the thoughts? Just some of your ideas, if you can share with us.
Yeah, see, as far as the current distributor is concerned, it took us almost 9 months to 1 year to locate this distributor. The biggest problem in Saudi is that everybody wants credit. And we are not in a position or there is no culture in KRBL to provide credit. So till the time we get a distributor who is agreeing to our terms and conditions, it might take another 3 months, 4 months, that is not important. But terms are more important and I hope it will take another 2 months, 3 months. After Ramadan, I am quite sure that we will be able to finalize. We have already shortlisted 2-3 and we are going to finalize one of them in very short period.
And yeah, the second question was again related to exports. Are we seeing people moving for lesser volumes and more orders because the prices of rice have increased quite significantly? So the incremental orders what we are getting, are they of large volume only for exports, or you are saying that people are trying to get lower volume orders also? Some thoughts on that.
Let me tell you, normally basmati rice, whatever it is consumed in Middle East especially, is an aged rice. So what is happening particularly in Saudi Arabia, most of the rice, it has been aged over there also by storing the rice for 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. So this year there were stocks in Saudi Arabia for which the new crop for which they were holding for the sale of Ramadan. And people in the beginning when the prices were low in India had concluded some contracts over there. Those shipments are going regularly and people are into trouble since the prices are low of that time. But all the new prices are quite high because all those new old contracts have been finalized. Now the new contracts are higher by $250 to $300.
Okay. And one more thing. For last 2 years, the FUSA Institute is trying to give different varieties of the basmati which are more infection resistant or pest resistant, so that low agrochemicals. How successful are those varieties? And how large has the cultivation come in FY23, and what are our expectations for the new season, or which will start happening from, let's say, June, July of sowing of that seeds?
Those, all the 3-4 varieties are super excellent. It has been accepted by the trade. We had made a trial shipments also, trial milling also. Everything went very well, and this year though I can't say because 23 crop will also have a very limited quantity, but 24 crop will have sufficient of those varieties which is known as pesticide free. It is not disease or anything, it's a pesticide free, resistance free commodity, and that will help us to capture the European market, American market, where the pesticide issue has been come in a big way. And normally in every speech we say that it is nothing but a non-tariff barrier for which we accepted the challenges and we are ready for that, but it will be in 24.
Okay. And lastly, the capex on the 3 facilities of which we were going to do for the besides the basmati, okay, the Gujarat and all these 3 facilities. So what has been done, and are we expecting the 2 facilities to start in FY24?
Yeah, so, you know, the total capex that we had indicated across the 3 plants was around 250 crores, out of which one plant, which is in Gujarat, we are expecting production to begin in April. So you would find that number getting capitalized maybe by next quarter. For our second plant, which is in Karnataka, the land has been acquired. The various other formalities are currently underway. The third plant, which is in MP, we are looking for the right piece of land there. So overall, you can expect this capex to be spread between the next financial year and the following one.
Okay, thank you. I'll join back in with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I have questions regarding the procurement. You mentioned that we procured around 40% plus higher. And if I read it correctly, the prices of last paddy, yes, this paddy is higher by around 50-20%. So I'm not able to tie up the figures which is mentioned in the presentation of December 21, which is around 3,100 crore and current inventory of around 4,400 crore. So can you please slightly clarify on that?
Yeah, I think the Ashish will tell you the numbers exactly. But if you take the average, see, we started buying the paddy right from September 10, 12 when the new crop started coming, and they were at a quite low prices. If you take our average price of the whole season of 7 lakh tons which we procured this year, we are very, very at a comfortable level and at a very, very competitive price. As far as numbers are concerned, Ashish, you can tell them.
Yeah. So the average price of basmati paddy procurement vis-a-vis last year is 15% higher. I think, was that your question?
Huh. Yeah, no, so if, even if I count 15% higher, so this 3,100 crore of inventory which is mentioned, so it turns around, say, for example, if I have to compare on the volume term, the price value comes around 3,600 crores. The current price, current inventory mentioned is 4,400 crores. And Anilji mentioned in the opening remark that we procured in terms of volume some 40% plus higher compared to last year. So if it has been 40% plus on the higher, on the volume front, then the figure four should have been far higher than 4,400 crore, or I'm missing something. So that's what I wanted to understand.
You must be carrying the closing stock.
Yeah. So I think let me explain.
If you want to take this offline, I am fine. I just thought I was just a bit confused on this.
You are telling the closing stock.
Yeah. So I can share the numbers in terms of our purchases, and if there's still a query, we can take it offline. So in the last season, which is 21-22, we have procured about 5,20,000 tons of basmati paddy. As against that, we procured roughly 45 to 47% higher this season. Right. So that combined with 15% higher rate will give you the number. That's number one. Number two, you would notice in our deck that our rice procurement is also higher this season, and again at a higher rate. So if you put the two things together, that should get you close to the overall inventory number that we reported.
The question is, what is the value of 500,000 ton last year and what is the value of 700,000 ton this year?
Average value.
So that number we've given, I can share that. Yeah.
That should be 55% over last year.
Okay. Now, does that answer your question?
I think broadly I'll just figure out the workings. If I don't, I'll touch base. The question was, the second question is this excellent growth of, the domestic sales. So is it anything related to, this typically in the Indian households, there is this new season rice which comes up. So is there some sort of a seasonal factor attached to it, pursuant to which there is a higher domestic sales this year around, apart from Horeca growth, which you have already shared?
No, so there isn't. That bharti that you're referring to happens only in Gujarat. And the trend of this, buying behavior has also diminished over the last decade. So it's a very small portion of the overall industry, I would say, that trend of bharti that you are referring to. But our sales, is not a representation of that behavior.
Okay. And you mentioned domestic growth grew by 9% volume-wise. Is that correct?
No. So consumer pack business grew by 9% volume-wise.
Okay. So can you share overall volume growth?
Quarter on quarter.
So overall branded volume growth in the quarter, which is on a year-on-year basis, was 12%.
Okay, 12% volume growth. This you're referring to overall, right? Or only domestic?
Domestic.
No, this is domestic branded basmati.
Domestic branded basmati and export?
Export overall growth on a quarter on a year on year basis in branded was 41%.
41%. Okay. So volume growth year on year, both figures. Okay.
Both are year on year basmati.
Right. And this export figure which has come significantly higher, what would the contribution by other than Middle East? We believe, of course, Middle East or Saudi is one of our great contributors, but any specific or significant growth other than Middle East lying there?
Actually, we are exporting to practically more than 50 destinations, and Africa definitely cannot be compared with the countries like USA, Europe, Australia or Middle East. African continent is comparatively little weaker. But as far as other countries are concerned, because we are into branded sales, we don't make a single export in a private label. So our prices are more or less depending on the freight and other expenses. They are the same throughout the world.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that once the this procurement season was over, you know, broadly the data indicates that production is, there is not significant loss because of the unseasonal rains, etc. So now the, I mean, you know, of late after the procurement was completed way ahead of time, 15 December, which you mentioned. So post that, the paddy prices were down again, you know, which had shot up to 40% plus.
No, paddy prices are not down, but definitely last 1 week, 10 days, rice prices have little bit come down. But now this is going to remain like this, like a roller coaster, because it will all depend upon the demand from the importer. It will all depend upon the demand from the importer, because everybody could assess that the crop size is lesser and there are various other reasons that the prices are going high. That has been become now in public domain and transparent that what is the actual position. So people, those who have purchased big quantities and are not able to sell, at many times they are selling the cargo at a desperate by losing 3 rupees, 4 rupees a kilo. That is only the difference.
Thank you. Mr. Doshi, may we request that you return to the question key for follow-up questions?
You can.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Soumen Chaudhary from Jet Age Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, please. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as you have mentioned that basmati rice prices have increased significantly during the quarter, but if we compare the rough realizations quarter on quarter, we don't see too much of an increase. So would it be correct to say that the prices increase towards the end of the quarter and we will see a significant improvement in the current quarter?
Actually, the prices started increasing from around 15th of September, the new crop start commencing. And it finished this time around 15th of December. So if we look at the graph this time, there was not a single day when the prices have reflected back or have come back or dropped. The prices went on one side. Now, any order which is to be shipped in the month of October or November, it cannot be from the new crop. It is all to be from the old crop and all are
in the first world.
That is why the reflection of the prices, quantity, everything because of Ramadan, you will see in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so realization should be better in this quarter than what we have seen in the third quarter.
Definitely.
Okay. And so one more question which I had was the differential between the valuation of basmati paddy and rice. This differential is almost 70-80% currently, which used to be 35-40% earlier. I just wanted to know, how is that happening? Is it because you are buying rice also at a higher price, or what exactly creates this difference? Because I understand that in the process of dehusking, we lose about 30-35%. Ideally, the differential should have been about 35-40% only.
Follow your question. Could you repeat again?
If I look at, the second quarter inventory position, the volumes and valuation given, basmati paddy value was at 32 rupees. Whereas basmati price valued was 56 rupees. So which is, you know, almost 80%, the rice valuation was almost 80% higher than the paddy valuation. whereas we lose only about, say, 30-35% in the process of dehusking. So how does the value of paddy rice go up so much from the paddy?
Product mix, no, no. It is a difference.
No, paddy, generally, out of 100 kg of paddy, we get 63-64 kg of rice.
Okay, yes.
And out of 64 kg of rice, 14 to 20 kg is broken and rest is the head rice.
Okay.
So that is where it is valued. No? So if you divide if you divide 32 kg by 65, you divide 32 by 64, 50%.
It will be about 45, sir.
Huh?
It will be about 45.
Yeah, so that means the whole rice comes around 45. But the rice mix may be different. The value is different. We are buying a lot of head rice also.
Okay,
we are buying a lot of head rice from the market. It is at a different price.
Okay, so currently you are buying more of basmati rice also than what you used to do earlier?
Yes, of course.
Okay, okay. Okay, fine. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the good set of numbers. I would like to know what is the sales value of the current inventory what we are carrying.
You see, we generally say it is always at the cost and the market value of what I have procured today.
Mm-hmm.
Market value is, according to me, is 15 to 20% higher.
Definitely 20% higher.
And what is my realizable value? It is a different thing. It's a branded product. I can't comment on that. What is the realizable value? That is much higher. But
sir, can we consider that we are carrying a sales value product of more than 5,000 crores?
More than.
Yeah, of course. We are 4,400 crore inventory. We are sitting on that, which has got a market value of 5,000 crores, about.
Okay. So, another question is that whatever we will be ending this year with record profits, so what are your plans to, utilize that money from the cash flow what we'll be generating and how you are going to reward the shareholders?
That we'll discuss in our board meeting. We'll see something, whether more dividend to be paid or buyback to be done. We'll discuss in the board meeting.
No, but in the past, last 2.5 years, it is the same answer which we are getting from the management. But your board is not coming to some common platform as to how we should reward the shareholders.
So we are giving a good dividend. Now we'll look in the board meeting how we can do looking at the current year profits.
So we are going to discuss in the board meeting and see how our investors are happy. And more satisfied. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as a last question. Thank you very much, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of KRBL Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.